keep it 100 every day.
Shot. Need the facts and stats. Who do you call? Bringing the fire, bringing the heat, we bring it to y'all. Calling for Frank, you calling for D, you calling for ball. Call for them all. Look how they ball, documented, proving the score. No matter the topic of conversation, call up. You gotta be patient. The love is embracing. Don't deal with the hate. Don't know what you facing. Every Monday, 11 to 1, we'll be there if you patiently waiting.
Bring the heat, bring the heat, bring the fire,
bring the fire.
Keep it 100 every day.
Your boy, Sports Rap CEO, in the building, Monday morning. You know what it is. You know what goes down today. But first, let me just start off with some proper etiquette here, okay? Today is Yom Kippur, so what's going on, Mel? Today is, like I said, today is Yom Kippur, and, you know, peace and blessings to those who celebrate, to the Jewish community, and to the people that are off school, people that are off work. I hope you enjoy your day, but you should be right here with me. I know you got the time. I know you ain't doing nothing. Some of y'all probably still sleep, or some of y'all are probably just waking up because y'all got to sleep late or whatever. But now's the time to get up, get moving, get the juices flowing, get the heartbeat going, and get in here and join me, Sports Rap Podcast LLC. Right here on Heat 100 Radio. And as always, you know where. Facebook, Sports Rap Podcast LLC is the group page. Instagram, @ Sports Rap CEO. And that's it for live right now. You can get us on TuneIn, Heat 100 Radio. You can also get us on Heat100Radio.com. So, jump on in, tune in, and get with me. So, we've got some football to talk about, of course, because we are now in football season. We are week 3. I got 2 Monday night games tonight. We're going to talk about that once we get to our scores and everything. But this is just the intro for you guys. We got one game to talk about. And it is a game that I don't know how this happened. I really do not. It is unbelievable that this happened. In a professional football game, it's like weird for the score. And you know what score I'm talking about. Y'all all know it. So we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. So you know what we do. We're going to do some news and some updates. We're going to get to some scores. So we got some preview for Eagles. You see my hat. I got my shirt on. You know, I always got to stand up for y'all and show y'all my shirts, whether it's Eagles gear or not, because I am a t-shirt dude. But today I got the Eagles. All right. It's Monday. Monday Night Football, 7:15. You know what it is. Well, anyway, we're going to get to some news and some updates. And then we're going to get to some scores for y'all. And then we're going to get to talking about some stuff. All right? We also got a little bit of Sixers and NBA talk that I'm gonna throw in here. Somewhere down the line, I'm going to throw it in here somewhere. But, and I'm going to talk a little college football. Talk a little bit about the Colorado game on Saturday, too. And the way I'm going to tackle that, if you will, I'm going to tell you some things that I feel about what I've been noticing, what I've been reading between the lines and taking note of throughout this whole situation. And some of it is not even actual football based. So just stay tuned for that. So here we go with some news and some updates. The Bengals signed a quarterback. They signed Reed Sinnett amid this confusion and everything with the Joe Burrow injury. QB Chase Young of the Panthers is going to be out 1 to 2 weeks after my guy, EA Fish, Ariav. Thanks for tuning in. Good brother, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Let's see. Deion Sanders after the shellac or after the butt kicking against the Ducks on Saturday. He says, and I quote, "No excuses after the butt kicking by the Ducks." Cleveland Browns running back is only believed to have a MCL tear. So that's somewhat good news, because what that means is, that basically means that he will probably be able to come back and play at some point. Not this year, but he'll probably be able to get back and play, except sometime maybe next year or whatever. But it was initially feared that his injury was going to be a career-ending injury. So good news for that, that it's not a career-ending injury. It's just a season-ending injury. Division 3 safety becomes the first female non-kicker to play in a college football game. Her name is Haley Van Voorhees. V-O-O-R-H-I-S, in case you want to look that up and talk about it. But it's a big feat. And, you know, some people will immediately downplay it and say, ah, well, it's only Division 3, whatever, whatever. Doesn't really matter to me. Okay? It's a female. And believe it or not, on her first play, I think she was a blitzer. She blitzed. She got some pressure on that quarterback for whatever team they were playing. But again, like I said, it is Division 3, and some people will argue that and try to downplay it. But no less, it is a great feat. Justin Fields apologizes to his coaches after some comments following the Bears game last week. Saints QB Derek Carr leaves the game with a shoulder injury. Of course, Colorado falls out of the top 25, and Ohio State, shout out to Baldy, my partner, Ohio State, has jumped up to number 4. Usher has been announced as the Super Bowl halftime performer. The Blazers are refusing to talk to the Heat about the Lillard trade. If I have some time today when I get to some NBA stuff, I'll definitely throw that in there a little bit and give you some little details about that and what's going on there. Jimmy G skips the post-game media session to be evaluated for concussion. And Broncos lineman Garrett Bowles says, in a quote, and I quote rather, "I've been here for 7 years and all I've done is lost," end quote. That stems on the heels of their game yesterday. And you know what game I'm talking about yesterday. So, folks, that is your news and your updates for today. Let's see here. I'm missing some stuff here. I'm missing some notes here. But I know I did it. I don't know what I did with it. I had some hockey scores for you guys. Well, I didn't put the scores in. But anyway, there are some hockey games. And I misled that, so I won't give you. I'm going to give you the scores from yesterday. But I will give you the schedule for tonight for hockey, okay? So excuse me for that. School baseball, Major League Baseball, yesterday. The Mets in town fall to the Phillies 5-2. The Blue Jays get by the Rays. What's that? 9-5. Diamondbacks get by the Yankees 7-1. Nationals in game one beat the Braves 3-2. The White Sox in 6 innings. I guess the game was called short due to weather. The White Sox take that 3-2 over the Red Sox. The Orioles and the Guardians. Orioles take that 5-1. Brewers were in Miami against the Marlins in Miami. Miami takes that 6-1. Pirates and Reds. Reds take that 4-2. Astros fall to the Royals 6-5. The Angels fall to the Twins 9-3. The Rockies fall to the Cubs 4-3. The Mariners fall to the Rangers 9-8. The Tigers blank the A's 2-0. The Padres beat up on the Cardinals 12-2. In 10 innings, the Dodgers get by the Giants 3-2. And in the second game, Braves Nationals didn't get that score, but we don't care because the Braves are who we want to play anyway. So we'll see them when we see them. WNBA playoffs semifinals are upon us. Sun and the Liberty. The Sun take a 1-0 lead in that series 78-63. And in the other series, the defending champs, the Aces take that game over the Wings 97-83 to also take a 1-0 lead in the WNBA playoffs. NCAA top 25 football. Florida State, number 4. And these numbers are going to change by the day. Like I told you, Ohio State has jumped up to number 4. So, well, these numbers are going to change. But at the time, Florida State, number 4, 31. Clemson, 24. Number 16, Oklahoma, 20. Cincy, 16. Number 2, Michigan, 31. Rutgers, 7. Number 19 at the time, Colorado, facing off against number 10, Oregon. Oregon takes that 42-6. Number 18, Duke, 41 over UConn, 7. Number 20, Miami of Florida, comes into town and plays Temple. They take that game 41-7. Number 15, Ole Miss, faces off against number 13, Alabama. Alabama takes that 24-10. Number 22 versus number 11. 22 UCLA versus 11 Utah. Kind of tight game. Number 11 Utah takes that 14-7. Tennessee at number 23, 45 UTSA 14. Arkansas in a close one. Falls to number 12 LSU 34-31. Florida, number 25, 22, Charlotte, 7. Number 14, Oregon State faces number 21, Washington State. Washington State, in an upset, takes that 38-35. Number 24, Iowa versus number 7, Penn State. Number 7, Penn State stays on top. Take that in a shutout, 31-0. Number 9 versus number 6, Notre Dame versus Ohio State. Ohio State takes that by 3. Number three, Texas defeats Baylor 38-6. Number one, Georgia, 49, UAB 21. Number 17, UNC defeats Pitt 41-24. Washington, number 8, gets by Cal 59-32. And USC, number 5, 42-28 over Arizona State. So like I said, I didn't get the scores for the Flyer for the NHL because I missed that, but I'll give you the schedules for tonight when I get around to doing the schedules and all of that stuff. So we'll save that for later. So the next set of scores we need to get into, we got NFL scores going back week 3, going back to Thursday, Giants and 49ers. The 49ers take that 30-12. Yesterday, Cleveland, Tennessee. Cleveland takes that 27-3. Atlanta at Detroit. Atlanta falls 20-6. New Orleans at Green Bay. Tight game and a comeback. Green Bay and the young Mr. Love take that 18-17. Denver at Miami. Miami takes this game 70-20. Listen here. You heard me right. I am not making this up. 70-20 in an NFL game. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. New England and New York, the Jets, that is, the Patriots take that 15-10. Buffalo beats up on Washington 37-3. Houston does a little something to Jacksonville 37-17. Indianapolis gets by Baltimore 22-19. Carolina falls by 10 to Seattle, 37-27. Kansas City beats up on Chicago, 41-10. The Cowboys, Dallas, fall in Arizona, 28-16. And Pittsburgh gets by Las Vegas in the nightcap, 23-18. Coming up tonight, you know what it is, and I'll give you these two games later. So, while we're here, and we're going to talk about this, we're going to talk about this game here. 70-20. Miami over Denver. I think Denver's now 0-3. I think Miami might be like 3-0 right now. But here's the thing. It's unbelievable that an NFL game had a score of 70-20. That's unlikely. I mean, that record has been set since like the 60s, I believe. And it's a college football score. You heard some of the college football scores that I gave. They usually blow out. And those are the type of numbers that we typically see in college football games. But yesterday, we got to see that in the NFL. It's a lot of ways you can look at it. It's a lot of avenues you can take, a lot of roads you can take. The road I'm going to stay on is, what is going on with the Denver Broncos? The Broncos now sit at 0-3. All right. There was a lot of chatter in the offseason with the bringing in of Sean Payton, and things were supposed to change, or things were believed to be on the verge of change, a change for the better. Unfortunately for them, it has been a change for the worse. And then week three, so early in the season still, but week three has put something on this Broncos organization right now that I don't know how, if they will or how well they will come up from under this. Again, like I said, there's a lot of things that can be brought up in discussions about this game. How is it that you have two professional teams? And when we talk about professionals, we typically say that these guys or females, whoever they are arguably the best in the world. Okay? So again, when we think about this numbers, the numbers just real quick, 70 to 20. We think about that as we look at those numbers and we think college football scores. And we can easily say that for college football because college football, you sometimes have games where teams that are nationally ranked or teams that are typically powerhouses end up playing a team that doesn't have enough talent. It's just the way of the land in college football. So you see sometimes, you see those types of scores. But like I was saying, when you move into the pros, all of these young, all of these men and women are supposed to be top flight. Best in their craft, best in the business. This is what we always allude to when we talk about professional athletes. It makes you wonder what went on yesterday. It also makes you look at that game, and when you look at it, it's like you get somewhat the misconception. And I'm only saying this right now. I'm only going this, taking this little avenue in my presentation, and I'm doing this because it's only week three. So, you know, when I come in here in the mornings on Monday mornings, I always do some homework before I come in to catch up, whatever. And I think this is part of the reason why I forgot I missed those NHL scores, because I was into this and I knew I was bringing this to the table, and I knew I had to find some things that other people were saying to bring you my point of view. So what I do is I take everything that I hear and see and I break it down into my interpretation and I bring it to you in that right. It makes you wonder what was going on. So some of the things that I heard this morning, and this is no, I'm not saying that this didn't happen yesterday, but yesterday, and these are all things that people comments are from yesterday, they're saying that the people are what they are, and they're saying that some of us are, let me see, how can I say this? Some of us are under the impression that Miami is like a great team now. So let me just say this. They were super, super really good yesterday. Definitely. Definitely really good yesterday. No doubt about that. No questions about that in my mind. They were definitely really good yesterday. But again, and some of the other things I'm going to say about some other teams and some other games are going to come into this category as well. Still only week three. So there's a lot of football left to be played. Okay. Now, what that says, welcome back, folks, on Instagram. I mean, on the Levo, too. Now, what that says about the Denver Broncos is going to be very hard to differentiate. Okay, welcome back. We're talking Denver Broncos. We're talking Denver Broncos Miami Dolphins game, the 70-20 game. So welcome back. Again, you could say that Miami is really good. Miami is really good, or they were really good yesterday, and they do have some talent. But again, when we think about Miami's entire situation, and again, I'm not discrediting what they did yesterday. They did what they did, and it's fine. All right? That's fine and well. Francis Chevalier on Facebook, thanks for tuning in. They did what they did yesterday, and that's all fine and well. Will this carry out for the next 14 games the way they did yesterday? Probably not, because the competition level is going to change. It's going to be different. Also, we know the situation with Tua from last year. So that's like an ongoing thing. And again, I'm not wishing any bad luck on anybody. I never do. But I speak to you all, and I speak to you all in reality, and I bring reality into the table, rather. And we all know the situation with Tua from last year and how the concussions and how Miami mishandled that. So arguably, and for conversations and dialogue and debating purposes, you could very easily say, yeah, Miami looked good yesterday, really good. They got the speed everywhere they needed. They got hella talent where they needed. But what happens if Tua gets hit again in a certain way or something happens to Tua and he goes out? And that's always going to be a question simply because of the way situation played out and the way the situation was handled last year. It's always going to come up. Trust me. All right? And people may listen to me and say, oh, well, yeah, you're going backtracking. No, that is a reality because we're talking about football. We know football is a violent sport. Any given moment, that could happen. It could happen to any quarterback. And I'm just saying Tua because this is the game that we're talking about right now. And we know the situation that happened. All right. On the other side, when we talked about the Denver Broncos, and I said earlier, the speculation, the expectation was bring in Sean Payton, will revive Russell Wilson's career, and will be better. 0-3 now. And then, like, yesterday's game just spurned a lot more questions. There were already questions going in after an 0-2 start. But then the game you played yesterday spurns a lot more questions. And on that side of the ball, what does this mean for Russell Wilson? Didn't have a good season last year. Not having a good season so far this year. And remember, 3 games in. All right. So I'm not going to the extreme, so to speak. I'm interpreting where we are, what I've seen, and what's going on right now, currently. Okay. So what does this mean? Does it mean that the Broncos may begin to look for a different quarterback? Mr. Terrell, thanks for tuning in. Does it mean that the Denver Broncos are going to be that bad all season long? Will they at some point begin to make a turnaround? Will they give their fans the belief that they can make a turnaround? Because right now, 0-3 start, and then, like I said, compounded with 70-20 loss yesterday. A lot of Broncos faithful are in a way, I'm sure. Definitely in a way, I'm sure. There's no doubt about that for me, that they are not in a way. And it's still, like I said, a lot of football to play. A lot of football left to play. But, like we say, for some teams, we don't know who's going to show up. So, you also can go down this road and ask, is there anything or what can they do to fix it? Because if you think about it, like I said, right now it's still early. It's only week 3. And we all know week 3 typically or really doesn't define your season. But in this case, because of the way week three played out for the Broncos, you could very easily argue that this game could have a major effect on the rest of their season. It could. And it's just unbelievable to see this. And again, like I said, it's just unbelievable all the way across the board. Because you look at the names, and as fans, people look in, as analysts, people look at situations. And when you look at this Denver situation, you don't think that there would ever be a game with this type of score. When you think about Russell Wilson, Super Bowl champion, very, very good quarterback, arguably a Hall of Fame quarterback when his career is over. And you look at the coach, Sean Payton was brought in. So it's like, it's just strange because, again, going back to last year, they knew something wasn't right. They knew something was going on. They knew they had Russell Wilson. They knew they had to work on something to try and fix some things. So they figured we'll bring in Sean Payton and we'll be on our way. Okay? Apparently, right now, they're not on their way. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And they have to begin to think about where they are. And I've been saying, again, week three should not or typically does not define your season. But you can definitely stake that argument in this situation. Just like I said, just because of the score and the way this game played out. I'm not saying it's going to definitely happen. But if you were to pick and prod and do this and do that and whatever, people may push that envelope or attempt to push that envelope a little bit and begin to say that it's not looking good. I don't think so. I think they have a extremely long road ahead of them. But I also have a ton of other questions as, like I mentioned, how and where do they begin in trying to fix the situation? Because you got to fix it. Okay? It's a 17-game season, 18 weeks. So you got 15 weeks and 14 more games to play. It can be done. But again, as soon as I say it can be done, I'm just visioning people that are tuned in, listening and watching. And I'm thinking, I'm doing the same thing. I see you guys with the facial expressions and I see it running through your head. You know how we say, I can see your brain working. I can see those brains working. I can see those wheels moving. And some of you are probably saying to me, yo, D, you tripping. It's pretty much over. Like I said, these are professionals, top of the line. And again, when we look at the names, Russell Wilson, Sean Payton, look at those names. So there is the potential for it to be fixed. But the biggest question is where and how do they begin to fix it? It's an uphill battle. It's a tough road. Not a Denver Broncos fan like that. So I don't know who their backup quarterback is, if they wanted to make a change there. I don't know who their defensive coordinator is, but it looks like he was almost non-existent last week. And then let me just add this little caveat to that. When we talk about teams and all of this, we tend to talk defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators, and all that type of jazz. You're right. We do. And a lot more times than not, when things don't go right, probably in this situation as well, people will say, oh, the defensive coordinator didn't do his job. He froze in the moment, yada, yada, yada. Here's the thing. I'm putting my coach's hat on again. And I loved it when I get to these types of things and I can do this for you guys. Putting on my coach's hat now, in that very similar situation, the coach can only put the players in the position to succeed or be successful. The players are the ones out there on the field. They actually have to go out there and do it. Let them marinate for a second. And again, I'm not discrediting the fact that we have instances where defensive coordinators call a play that should not have been called against this lineup or should not have been called against this particular team in this particular moment, yada, yada, yada. I understand all of that. I get it. But on the flip side of that, you can also say, coach is going to tell you, look, this is what I need you to do. The players go out there and the players don't do it. Then you've got fault on both ends, if you will. Because it could have been that situation where that play wasn't going to work at all. You got the instance where the players didn't perform. And then you've got the questions that you can bring up in conversations where you could say the defensive coordinator didn't really understand his personnel. He might have should have changed his personnel. He should have changed the play. So it's a lot of wiggle room there. Like I'd say, a lot of gray area there that can go into that whole situation. But again, this type of game in the NFL is like unheard of. The score. Me and my friends joke about some teams that play. And then when they play teams, like, perfect example, and this is not coming from me. This is just some stuff that I witnessed on social media. And like I said, this is how me and my friends, we communicate with each other. We jostle each other for each other's teams. So a lot of people were, like, when Dallas won those first two games against the Giants and the Jets, people were saying, oh, y'all played two crappy teams. Y'all ran up the score and whatever. Then the Cowboys lose Trayvon Diggs for the season. Then they go in there and they play Arizona. And they get stunned. But one thing that I saw that was very familiar in that game yesterday, the mistake by Dak Prescott late in that game. Happens all the time. And I'm talking to somebody yesterday, and I say the same thing. I say, you get those same things, Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins. I say, it never fails where those two quarterbacks always seem to make plays that are crucial to their team. Either it turns the game around, it loses the game for them, or something. Those two. Happens all the time. And it happened yesterday for both of them. Dak threw a pass that he probably shouldn't have. Well, not probably. Dak threw a pass he shouldn't have thrown. And he's a veteran, so he known he shouldn't have thrown that. Kirk Cousins did the same thing. He threw a pass trying to get a touchdown. Ball got tipped, picked off late in the game when they could have went down and won. So, looking at these stats, and like when you hear these numbers from these stats, you're like almost going to not believe that this is how it's coming. The stats don't really give you this score. All right. As far as the QBs yesterday, we talk about Russell Wilson and Tua Tagovailoa. All right. Russell Wilson, 23 of 38. And of course, we know his pass attempts were going to be up because they were behind. 23 of 38. 306 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Tua, 23 of 26. Talk about efficiency. 309 yards, four TDs, zero interceptions. All right, so total yards for each team, 363 for the Broncos, 726, a whopping 726 for the Dolphins. Total passing, 306 for the Broncos, 376 for the Dolphins. Rushing yards total, Dolphins 350, Broncos 69. Turnovers, no turnovers for the Dolphins. Three turnovers total for the Broncos. Two fumbles lost and the one interception. But again, like I said, we know, like when we look at the, we just look at the quarterback numbers. 23 of 38, 306, one TD, one interception. Okay, when we look at that, we automatically know, all right, the Broncos were behind. He had to throw the ball more. All right. When we look at Tua, 23 of 26, efficient. And that just means for me that there was a lot of yak, a lot of yards after the catch, things of that nature. Only 309 yards. So he's only had three more yards total. My guy, Mag, what's going on? Good morning. It's only three yards difference in the individual for the quarterbacks. But that makes you wonder, were the Broncos playing flag football and not regular football? Were they playing rough touch? Or were they playing tag and not playing real football? Because, again, Tua, 23 or 26. And again, like I said, efficiency. But then again, they ran the ball for 350 yards as well. So, listen. We all know that game was historic and all that jazz and everything like that. But again, like I said, you got some real issues over there in the Mile High City. And listen, they need to get on those issues immediately before it becomes a problem and a long, hard, drawn-out, disappointing season. And like I said, 3 weeks in professional football, you have the opportunity to change it. You have the tools to help you change it. I mean, like I said, look at the name, Sean Payton. We all know the name. So the cards are in place. They just have to play them right and get this thing fixed. Because if they don't, like I said, it's going to be a long, drawn-out, rough, disappointing season. And you'll probably have some fans jumping ship. You're going to have fans talking smack, trash, all year long if it stays this way. So you got to get it fixed. You have to get it fixed now. So we pretty much know what their bye week is going to look like. Their bye week is going to look like an extra work week for front office personnel and coaching staff. Has to. I don't know when their bye week is, but whenever it is, depending on what their record is and how this thing plays out from now up until their bye week, it's going to be interesting to see what happens and what transpires. So, that's it for that game, man. I mean, there's not much more you can really say about that game. So, you know, as we do, we pick out other games that we like to discuss and we take things, games that we talk about. So, I'm going to go back to the Dallas-Arizona game. Again, like I said, we've seen it a lot of times. A lot of people have talked about it. The untimely mistakes of the quarterback, Dak Prescott. You traded for Trey Lance. Does this mean that we will see Trey Lance under center sooner than we expect? Does it not? Still don't know. We honestly still don't even really know what the mood is in Dallas right now. Because their defense didn't look the same as it did in the first 2 weeks. And mind you, the first 2 weeks, you're playing against the Giants and Danny Dimes. And then you played the Jets against Zach Williams, who, in my opinion, stinks. Okay. So, and then yesterday, like, you didn't even play against Kyler Murray. You played against their backup, Joshua Dobbs. Hey, I'm saying, listen. They had some moments, you know, in all fairness, first game without Trayvon Diggs. So there was some adjusting there, I'm sure. I mean, it's just, no, like I said, just calling a spade and being fair. There was some adjusting there on that back end of that defense. There may come some more adjusting on that back end of that defense. But still, the defense yesterday didn't look like it looked in the first two games. But again, like I said, week three, it can turn around. But again, like I said, we've seen it early already. We know what's going to happen again. He does it all the time. I'm talking about Dak and making those untimely mistakes. It's going to happen again. I'm actually anxious to see what Stephen A. Smith has to say this morning about this loss and about that particular play where Dak Prescott made that mistake. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Again, Arizona takes that game 28-16. Late game last night, Las Vegas and Pittsburgh. Las Vegas yesterday, if I remember the stat correctly, in the first half, they threw 30-something passes. Davante Adams had half of those passes. Okay, folks. Josh McDaniel, that's not going to work every week. Because Teams in the NFL have Tate. Teams in the NFL will begin to take Davante Adams out of games. They'll do it. It happens. It's very similar to what happened to the Eagles in games 1 and 2. People know the talent that they have, so people have been trying to take certain people out of games. And I think the Eagles will hit their stride very soon. If it doesn't happen tonight, next couple of weeks, they'll be fine. And I've been saying this, trash will still be fine. And then again, like I said again, it's still early. Still only week three. Jimmy G. I told people in San Fran when he went there initially from leaving the Patriots that I'm still not sold on Jimmy G. I don't think he's that good. He showed a little bit of that yesterday. But watching that game last night, Pittsburgh came out with an agenda to be extremely physical. And they were. The one call I did not like, and then the correspondent, referee correspondent said the same thing as well. The hit from Minka Fitzpatrick on Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't feel like that should have been a personal foul, roughing the passer. My guy, Jen, what's going on, good brother? Thanks for tuning in this morning. So, I'm like, it's kind of got me in a way like I was with the Colorado State hit on Travis Hunter, you know, when that was clarified for me. But yesterday, watching that yesterday and then hearing the official correspondent say the same thing makes you wonder a little bit. How much they are protecting quarterbacks now, or how much they're trying to protect quarterbacks now. It's a little bit insane for me, if you will. But on the other side, again, you can't, again, like I said about the college football teams where we saw that score to 70, whatever, where we see times where there's a certain team that's going to just have a lot more talent than their opponent. When you look at what the Raiders did yesterday, and again, no discredit to Davante Adams, arguably one of, if not the best receiver in the league, but can't focus on him and feed it. Unless you're spreading it around, then you might end up getting him 17, 18 targets. But when you're focusing solely on him, professional players, cerebral players, cerebral coaches, pick up on things very quickly. So again, like I said, teams will look at that game yesterday, and teams will begin to figure out ways to take Davante Adams out of games and make you look for the other receivers. Okay, and then again, Davante Adams is just so good that he's going to get some targets, of course, and he's going to make some plays, but You can't just drop back and wait to find him open. Because as we've seen, and we saw, and I mentioned it in my opening, that Jimmy G is in concussion, was being examined for a concussion. So that means he got knocked around a little bit. Well, not around a little bit, he got knocked around a lot. So something's got to give there. Another team, I don't know who their backup quarterback is. I don't know if you want to need to change that there. Probably won't give reports till sometime later today on the situation with Jimmy G, if the concussion is confirmed or not. But the sad part about the situation with the Raiders is they have some talent. Josh Jacobs, reigning leading rusher in the NFL. Like I said, Davante Adams, if not the best, arguably one of the best receivers in the league. Quarterback situation for me, still questionable as far as Jimmy G. Still questionable. It's tough, man. You know, you don't have much to go on, like Jay, considering yesterday, because you can't really game plan for that. Like, basically, all you would do is you just say, look, all right, we're just going to keep a safety over the top. Make them, make somebody else beat us. So, you know, it's one of those things, like I said. Again, I'm just pointing out some things that I've seen, that I've noticed, reading between the lines on some issues that are going on around the league. So, moving on to our little preview, if you will. Again, tonight, two Monday night games. Philadelphia at Tampa Bay, and then the Rams at Cincinnati. People this morning, a lot of analysts, a lot of commentators, and a lot of shows were talking about this Eagles-Bucks game, and then they were reverting back to history. 2 years ago, last two games they played against the Bucks were in that same season. Regular season was a loss, and then we ended up playing them in the wild card, and again, we lost again. Nonetheless, different Jalen Hurts, different Eagles team right now. The quarterback situation there, again, another one who I'm still not sold on, Baker Mayfield. I still tend to think he's slightly overrated. Ty Bowles, yes, is the defense, is the head coach there. His defense should be good. But with the talent that the Eagles have, you can't stop everybody. Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, DeAndre Swift, and our quarterback, Jalen Hurts. Can't shut everybody down. It's kind of like you're going to pick your poison. But I think the Eagles will go into Tampa Bay and come out with a win tonight. And again, like I said, I'm not sold on this Baker Mayfield. I still use the number one pick. Again, I think he's just slightly overrated. He was in Cleveland. It didn't work there. He ended up going to Carolina for one season last season. Didn't work there. Had a good first two games so far. And people are also discussing, as far as in reference to the Eagles, working with new defensive coordinator, working with new offensive coordinator. Okay. Things happen, all right? And you make change. The Eagles have shown you signs that they can be right back on track in both of these two games. Just didn't play out throughout the complete game that way. So, again, there is an adjustment. You have a new coordinator on both sides of the ball that has a game plan, has a system that has to get adjusted to his players. Although, one of them, the defense coordinator, has not. This is his first year here. But he was in Seattle when they were the lead in the boom. So, I have confidence. I have faith that things will come together. The offensive coordinator was an in-house hire, very familiar with Jalen Hurts. Also, I think one of the advantages that the Eagles have, and I've just noticed this from last year and moving into this year, although it's only been two games so far, and in the offseason, and the attitude of this unit is one of those attitudes where deep down inside they know we're going to be fine. We just got to get it. We just got to put it together. And once we put it together, it'll be smooth sailing, so to speak. When you had this type of change, like I said, you're going to have some hiccups. I don't think these are bad hiccups because they still got two wins. And this is like what I was saying last year and the year before that when they started to make a little push and it looked like they could do some things in the next coming years. The Eagles have become one of those teams that we talk about that are really good teams. And when I say that, I mean those teams that are teams that find ways to win games that they're supposed to win. The Eagles were supposed to beat the Patriots. Last week, they were supposed to win, and they won. So this week, they're favored again in Tampa Bay. And like I said, people are going into all the hoopla about the last time we played them. It's a different quarterback the last time we played them. It's a different Jalen Hurts. So it's two different quarterbacks in essence. I mean, one is still there. It was just a different style for him. He's matured now, whatever. And again, like I said, this Baker Mayfield thing, I still don't trust it. I'm not completely sold on him as well. Both teams are coming in 2-0. I think this could be the turnaround, get-right game for the Eagles. And then you have to also take into consideration the Eagles have arguably the toughest schedule this year. And the way their schedule was set up the first couple weeks, we start off on a Sunday on the road, open the season on the road. Then we've got that short week because we played Thursday. And then it's like we turn around and then we play Monday. So that's like you think about it technically and you just look at the calendar and you could arguably say, wow, that's three games in so many days. But it feels and looks short. It's 3 weeks still. But the way the game, the days that the games were played, or the way that the games are going to be played, adding in today, tonight, it just makes you wonder, like, wow. And, you know, and it's always, it always poses that question, too. Why is it that it apparently seems that the loser of the Super Bowl ends up with the or one of the toughest schedules the following year? Kind of makes no sense to me. Somebody help me make it make sense. I don't get it. But it usually happens that way. Because we all know it's tough to get back. It's tough to get there in general, but it's tough to get back. This Eagles team, we did lose some pieces. Yes. And there are some questions still, and I have them too, about the linebacking core. N'Kobe Dean is out for a couple more weeks, but I think he showed some things where he could be the guy moving forward. It's his first year as a starter, so we'll give him some little, give him some little bit of wiggle room. We lost Avante Maddox for the season, so we have to coach up Mr. Goodrich. We get Bradbury back tonight, so our corners are back in tandem. Reed Blankenship should be back in tonight. There's also the possibility that the Eagles could still make a move. There's still rumors making move for Buda Baker. There are also some rumors about some other moves, some trades to bring in some other pieces, another slot receiver. I saw something this morning where there could be some interest in possibly if the trade happens or he put his, if he is placed in trade conversations for Renfro in the slot as a slot receiver from the Raiders. So we're going to stay, pay close attention, we're going to watch it. But the thing that I like, and it's been happening since last year, where Howie is taking what he has taken from games week to week, and he's immediately focusing on the holes. So he's trying to plug a hole as fast as he can. He's trying to fix things as fast as he can. I don't know if that's the same situation in Denver, but Howie is doing it. He's trying to fix things as soon as he can. He sees the bang, I got to get on it. I got to fix it. All right? So we'll see what happens in that situation. It's going to be a tough game. But again, like I said, I think the Eagles are going to come out on top. Second game tonight, the Rams and the Bengals. Very, very questionable. Or let me say a lot of questions about the health of Joe Burrow right now. So apparently we can figure or we can guess that Joe Burrow was hurt still coming into the season. Something happened in training camp and it lingered over and whatever, whatever. Just doesn't look like himself, which makes the Cincinnati Bengals not look like the Cincinnati Bengals that we have seen in the past couple years. So I like the Eagles tonight over Tampa Bay, and I like the Rams tonight over Cincy. So my picks. That's what it is. And before we close out tonight, today, or tonight, this morning, I will go through week four schedule, give you my picks for week four in a little bit. But I also want to stay here, and I mentioned to you, I want to stay here as far as in the NFL. I mentioned to you in my opening that the quarterback for the Chicago Bears, Justin Fields, had some comments after the game, probably out of frustration. Then he ultimately apologized to them. But there are other issues going on in Chicago. There's a mysterious departure of a defensive coordinator. Okay. So I saw this article and it says, you know, we really just explain what we really know. You say it's bizarre to have a defensive coordinator step away from his job 3 weeks into a new season, but rapid resignations aren't exactly unheard of. What made this scenario spiral out of control was a small number of unvetted, unproven, yet verified Twitter accounts that had no history of breaking news, suddenly having intimate details about Williams, alleging that his home in Hallis Hall had been raided by the FBI in search of illegal materials. Whatever these illegal materials were, the raid rumor turned out to be categorically false. So that was false. So something else is going on up there in Chicago. Again, like I tell you here, I'll do my homework, I'll do my research, but they're only going to give us what they want to give us. So it's going to take a lot to find the true essence of what's going on, if you even find it at all, right? So don't know exactly what that situation is. I hope it's not a situation that could linger all season for them and have them have that cloud over them and have that affect them as they progress through the season. Now they have to get a new defensive coordinator. Things will probably change. So we'll see. You know, keep my eye on it and see what happens. Other story in the NFL. We go back to week one. Giants, 49ers. And there was an alleged punch from Trent Williams. And it says, NFL explains why Trent Williams was not ejected for an apparent punch versus the Giants. We know. So in this instance, in this situation, it was the Giants and 49ers, and shows after replay showed him punching New York's A'shaun Robinson in the face, or face mask to be exact. The offset penalties became offset, so you know it was what it was. Following the victory, Senior Vice President of Officiating, Walt Anderson, talked to some reporters about the incident and said actions didn't meet the level required for disqualification. He said, and I quote, "We ended up looking at the video we had available to us, and we just didn't see anything that rose to the level of flagrant, which is the standard that we have to apply to disqualify the player." He also added that officials look at whatever a player used, whether a player used a closed fist determines how flagrant a punch is. I'm going to read you this again. Officials look at whether a player used a closed fist determines how flagrant a punch is, as opposed to an open hand slap or stiff arm shove to the face. WWDF. So wait. A punch is a punch. A punch is always closed. Slap is a slap, open handed. Stiff arms are illegal, yes. So punches and slaps to the helmet, face are not acceptable in the NFL. We all know this. Looking at this play, now that I'm talking about it, and thinking about last night's Minka Fitzpatrick hit that was called and this one wasn't, makes you wonder. And it also ties back to when we talked several years ago, when we arguably still may not know the true essence of a completed pass. So, goes on to say, according to the NFL rules, throwing a punch will result and disqualification. So if he threw a punch, and according to NFL rules, throwing a punch will result in disqualification. Where's the confusion? Where is the difference? He threw a punch. Arguably, should have been disqualified. And then it also goes into what I just say here and says, after years of uncertainty over the process of completing a catch, now will there now be debates on what factors go into completing a punch? Listen, to me, it's a bunch of crap. Because a punch is a punch. And I just read to you, by NFL rules, throwing a punch warrants disqualification. So to cover themselves in their own confusion, they said apparent punch. So basically what they're saying is they couldn't really get down and dirty and decide whether it was an actual punch or whether his hand was open or what. But any slap to the head, punch to the head, except for a stiff arm, is a foul. It's a penalty. Again, are we going to be down this road where, like the article said, after years of uncertainty over the process of completing a catch, will there now be debates on what factors completing a punch? It's nothing to decipher. It's nothing to examine. A punch is a punch, period. Slap is a slap. The only difference, the slap is open hand, the punch is the punch. It's a closed fist. It's called the punch. That's why it's called the punch. So a punch is a punch. Where's the confusion? Where's the differentiation? I'm confused as all get out right now. I'm going to do some research, but I'm willing to bet that there's going to be some confusion some more this season. There's going to be some other stuff that's going to come up that is definitely going to play into this down the line. It is what it is. And it's just what we're looking at. Because of that, and then I'm sure if this comes into a big conversation within the NFL in those officiating rooms, both of these players are going to be looked at when they talk about this situation. You have to. Because it's very similar. Okay, I know that an apparent punch or whatever, that's like blatantly breaking the rules. The Minkah Fitzpatrick was a judgment call. I get that. I don't agree with it, but it was a judgment call. So this official in this game, a punch was thrown. How do you not see a punch being thrown? How do you call it an apparent punch to the face or face mask? You're trying to neaten it up and trying to clean it up. NFL, got some explaining to do. Definitely have some explaining to do, NFL. So with that, we move on. I want to get to some NBA stuff here. And I want to talk a little bit about the Sixers and their depth chart. Most recently, we've heard the rumors of some situations. There could possibly be some talks going on for Buddy Hield. And then I just posted yesterday that the Sixers have made contact with Portland about a Damian Lillard trade, because it's also been reported that the Heat are not talking, or Portland is not talking to the Heat, because the Heat apparently don't have enough assets. Sixers have some assets, but one of the assets is something that they already put out that they are not going to move, that a lot, if not most of the fans, including myself, don't want to see. Probably we don't want to see Maxey included in this deal. None of us do. Sixers have already put it out there, too, that Maxey is not going to be included in any deals. So, even with our situation with Mr. Harden, this is the potential depth chart for the Sixers. Now, I got this for you. I have the potential or the alleged penciled-in starters. Like I said, we're still dealing with the James Harden situation, but he is on our roster right now. The depth chart, when I give the second players, it's like the backup and then goes on, but that doesn't always mean that that's going to be the exact rotation. All right? So, starting with the starters. At point guard, they still listing James as the point guard, Maxey as the two, Tobias at the three, PJ four, big fella at the five. Backing up right now, and this is just pre-training camp, what the roster looks like, and alleged what it could look like. Backups in the point guard, Patrick Beverley and Tre'Quavion Smith, who's on a two-way deal as a rookie. Shooting guard, De'Anthony Melton, Jaden Springer, Furkan Korkmaz, and Danny Green. Danny Green will probably be around for a while. There has been some talk about possibly doing some things and including Korkmaz in the deal, even though he asked for a trade last year. So that still may come up, all right? Newly minted Kelly Oubre as the backup to Tobias Harris at the three, Daniel House, and then Ricky Council, the fourth, another rookie on a two-way contract. Behind P.J. Tucker, we got Paul Reed. Would have had Montrezl Harrell, but Montrezl Harrell is an injury. He's out indefinitely. So we're going to have to look to make some moves there. Or behind Joel Embiid, you got Mo Bamba. Reed could arguably see some time there. They list Harrell again. Like I said, we know the situation with Harrell. Philip Petrzov, and then the rookie, Tubelis, on a two-way contract. So, with that being said there, I think with what I just gave you, the players that I gave you, knowing some of these players, and the new coaching staff, I think there are some things that could be done. Some people made light of the situation of bringing Danny Green back. Here's my thing with the Danny Green re-signing, okay? It's a plethora of ways he can be used, all right? I still think he's good enough to give you some spotty minutes and can spot up in that corner and knock down that track. So when you think about the offense, you think about spacing. You think of you can play Danny Green at the small and you have Tobias Harris or even P.J. Tucker. Now, P.J. Tucker is going to go to the one corner. Danny Green is going to go to the other corner. Then you got to, excuse my language, Mo, you got a shitload of space for the big fella to work in the paint and in the middle. All right. I also feel like with Nick Nurse coming in, seeing what the rest of the roster has, I think we're going to see Joel in the paint a little bit more. I think it's going to be commanded a little bit more because now you have the spacing. And then you add in a Kelly Oubre. You got some shooters now. You got some spacing there. Okay. I mean, Korkmaz was a little disgruntled with the coaching staff and his minutes and all of that. But when you think about it, spot situations, he can do some things for you. Not a lot, but hear me like I said it. In certain situations, let me say, certain spot situations, he can do some things for you. Okay? It is the, it's going to be interesting. If they can do something, and maybe, like, move Korkmaz, his name came up, possibly even Daniel House, and bring in another shooter like a Buddy Hield, things are starting to begin to look a little bit better. If they have to part with maybe Tobias Harris, Springer, somebody else, maybe Korkmaz, to facilitate something for Damian Lillard, hey, I'll take it. But I don't think the Sixers this year are going to be, I don't think the season is going to be as rough as some people slightly speculated will be. I honestly kind of think that they're going to be a little bit better than people are expecting them to be. And I say this, and again, no discredit to Doc Rivers, but Doc Rivers was one of those old school coaches who was set in his ways and was not really good at adjusting to the youth that is currently in the NBA. I think Nick Nurse has a better handle on that right now, and I think some things will be different as far as coach relationships with players. And, you know, we talk about this James Harden situation, and we had reports initially that him and Nick Nurse and James Harden spoke, and that James Harden was intrigued by what was going on. I also saw a report from Ramona Shelbourne that initially kind of hinted to, like, the simple fact that all of this is coming up because James Harden wants to be the focus. Well, dude, listen, we understand that you were the focus wherever, Houston, whatever. This is not your team. Right now it's Joel's team. Arguably Joel and Tyrese Maxey. So you got to get in where you fit in. And I mean, shit, hell, excuse my language again, but hell, dude, you don't want to fit in with that? Yes, you can argue and say that you helped Joel Embiid get the MVP this year. Yes, and I can give you that a little bit. I can give you some of that. But you also have to take into consideration, if you're thinking about winning, if that's your thought process, you two guys were tops in the league in duos. You don't want to bring that back with some other pieces that can help, and additional pieces that can help and continue that run. You want to get in your feelings and talk about yada, yada, yada. Non-basketball stuff, actually, is what is going on here. So, again, we'll see what happens. Like I told you, you know the storyline. You know the backdrop of the story. He's opted in. There was no market for him. There's still not really a market for him. Everything has basically cooled off pretty much on him as of right now. So, we don't know. But he is under contract. And we all know with the Canoe Collective Bargaining Agreement, like I've said to you several times, the Sixers can block him from becoming a free agent at the end of the season, which he would be even if he had just opted in, come in, no chat or anything like that, just coming in, whatever, he'd be a free agent, whatever. But the Sixers now, if he doesn't come within 30 days, they can block him from being a free agent. He really doesn't want that to happen. Because if there was no market for you now, and you don't come and play, kind of market you think is going to be there next year? And then you'll be a free agent. So what if you get to be a free agent, what kind of market do you think will be there now? People have consistently asked me, so is everything all hush-hush on Tobias Harris? Here's the thing. I feel like now the Tobias Harris situation, it's either going to just come off of our books at the end of the summer. If we bring him back, it's going to be on a way different deal than what he just signed. If not, there could be some trade talks around the trade deadline. Again, where teams will be willing to take a chance, depending on how his season goes up until then, will be willing to take a chance if they feel like they have some playoff contention or whatever, due to the fact, again, that that contract will be expiring at the end of the year. So if it doesn't work, you don't have to worry about him next year. That's the situation there. So again, still got some time. Got 32 days until basketball, until training camp. 32 days until we start the season. So again, all of those stories that I get, you know, I'm going to add them in. Like I said, we're going to be a heavy football because we are in the football season, but there's still going to be some news. And I'm definitely, you know, I'm going to bring you stuff as I get it, as I bring it to you in my interpretation and how I feel about things. And lastly, for the NBA, there's also been an adjustment to the load management, the resting of players, or star players. The Board of Governors approved the new policy that allows the league to fine teams that sit star players during games. It was recommended by the Competition Committee, and it will apply to nationally televised games and the in-season tournament games. Teams can also face punishment if for sitting multiple stars during regular season games. They say the policy is aimed at preventing teams from resting players or using them in reduced roles when the integrity of the game is at stake. So here's the thing. With that, and when they mentioned the integrity of the game, takes me back to Kobe Bryant, bless him, rest his soul. There was a conversation that was reported out that he had with his wife, and he was banged up and hurting, but he still wanted to go play a game. And he said his wife asked him, "Why you're hurt? Why are you going to play?" He said, "Because there's a fan in that building whose parent or whatever spent their hard-earned money, probably stretched, to come and see me play. What type of player, what type of person would I be if I don't fulfill that for them and go and play?" Athletes back then were a different breed. We got a lot more prima donna athletes right now. But I get it, you know. If you don't get it, these events are pretty costly sometimes. I know here in Philly, you can get to some games as far as the Sixers, whatever. You can get to some games. But then the prices tend to increase when a certain particular team or certain players come into town. Happens a lot. Happens other places too as well, I'm sure. But that's what they mean when they say the integrity of the game. You have these people that spend their hard-earned money to come and see players, and then they don't play. Like, it's happened to me. I did see him play at some point. I got to see him play. But there was the first time, my first attempt at seeing LeBron play here. Turns out, I didn't find out until on my way to the game that he wasn't going to play. By that point, it was too late for me. It was too late to turn around and go home, try to sell a ticket, whatever. And I probably could have sold the ticket, but I wanted to go to the game anyway. So I went. You know, I sucked it up and I went. It was unfortunate that I didn't see him play. But like I said, after the fact, I got a chance, the opportunity to actually see him play live. Happened a couple times. Happened to me with Steph Curry one time, too. Didn't get to see him live at that particular moment. But, you know, it happens. And I understand now where the NBA is. It should have been done a long time ago. But I guess they are finally getting it now, where it's making some sense to them for real now. So, you know, we'll definitely got to keep that in mind. Like we said, who wants to watch a game? Like, even if you're watching the game on TV, it's like, all right, you may say, look, let's watch, we're going to watch the Sixers and the Lakers. And then you look up and you hear an injury report and you say, oh, LeBron's not playing. And like we know from some familiar stuff here, Embiid's not playing. And then you're like, do I really still even want to watch this game? Like, my whole focus was to watch the guys go at it, have some good competition, see who wins. When those guys don't play, then it becomes an issue. It makes you wonder, scratch your head, like, I really want to see this or what? Like, what am I doing here? You know, so it happens. I'm glad that they have finally put something in place for it, due to that and giving back to the fans. I think I finally feel like they have taken some of the fans' concerns into consideration. So, folks, again, thank everyone. You know, great stuff here. Thanks to everybody that tuned in this morning. EA Fish on Instagram. Let's see. My folks on Facebook. Very early in the game, Craig Mellison, Francis Chevalier, Antoine Terrell, my guy, Mag, and my homie, my cousin, Charles Gendrell, who gave me the thumbs up earlier as well. Anybody else that was tuned in, listening, wherever you are listening from, but didn't feel comfortable letting me know who you are, I appreciate the support because I know you're out there. I see my stats. I see the report, so I know you're out there. I know you're tuned in. So, again, schedules for tonight. Major League Baseball, Diamondbacks, White Sox, Rangers, Angels, Astros, Mariners, Padres, Giants. WNBA resumes tomorrow. Same situation. Sun and the Liberty, Wings and the Aces. Where am I? NHL today, tonight. Two games between the Predators and the Panthers. Devils and the Canadiens. Senators, Maple Leafs, Flyers, Devils, Oilers, Jets. Two games, Kraken, Flames, and Golden Knights, Avalanche. There. Tonight, Monday Night Football, Eagles at Tampa Bay, 7:15. L.A. Rams at Cincinnati, 8:15. Two games tonight. So moving on. Let's get to it. We're going to jump to Thursday, week four. Thursday, September 28th, arrival. Division game, always a tough game. One team has gotten better. Still a little uncertainty about the other team. Then Detroit at Green Bay. I'm going to go with Detroit on the road in this game. Just because it's the first time they play and they will get to play them in their building again. Moving on to next Sunday, October the 1st. Atlanta at Jacksonville. Believe it or not, not sold on the quarterback there, but I kind of like some of the things I see in young Trev at Jacksonville. I'm taking Jacksonville at home. Buffalo, Miami. This is going to be a push game for me. I'm a stretch here. Take Buffalo at home. Miami's not going to score 70 points against Buffalo. I don't see it. Denver at Chicago. I like Chicago at home. A whole lot of confusion like we talked about for a long time early in the show. Baltimore at Cleveland. Baltimore lost. I like Baltimore on the road to bounce back. Cincy at Tennessee. I like the Titans at home. Rams at the Colts. I like the Rams there. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. I like Tampa Bay there. Washington at Philadelphia. Definitely like the Eagles there. Minnesota at Carolina. I'm going to go with Carolina at home because I'm, you know how I feel about Kirk Cousins. Pittsburgh at Houston. Kenny Pickett showed me a little bit. Pittsburgh as a unit. Defense showed me they can be physical. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh on the road. Vegas and the Chargers. I'm going to go with the Chargers because we got some uncertainty at quarterback for the Raiders there. New England at Dallas. I'm stretching here again. I'm going to take New England over Dallas, and that's also because I'm not a Cowboys fan, and I root for anybody against the Cowboys that plays them. I root for the other team anyway. Arizona at San Francisco. San Fran there. Kansas City at the New York Jets. Take the Jets there. And then next Monday, a week from today, Seattle is in the Meadowlands or in MetLife to face off against the Giants. I like Geno there and the Seattle Seahawks there. Folks, thanks everybody for tuning in this morning. Thank you all for continually tuning in to Heat 100 Radio. You can get us all the time, 24 hours. Listen to the music. Eclectic music. We got a plethora of music. We up and down the spectrum here. So check us out. You know where to find me. Right here on Mondays, live and in studio. Also, Facebook, Sports Rap Podcast LLC is the group page there. You can catch me here live on Mondays and all week on social media there. Also, Instagram, TikTok, at Sports Rap CEO. I want to say X Twitter. I'm there too, but I'm not really there too much. I don't really like the things that's going on over there at Twitter. So I'm usually focused on IG, TikTok, and FB. So that's where you can find me there. Also, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, most of your podcast outlets. Webpage, sportsrapradio.com. Also, folks, get to that YouTube page, Sports Rap TV. There's a lot of videos up there. This one will go up this week, later on this week. Other videos are up. Some good stuff is up there, too. Some good content. Make sure you subscribe to that channel. Put the thumbs up on the videos that you like, and then hit that bell so you'll know when new content is uploaded. Folks, a little cloudy today, not that warm, going to be rainy, dreary today, but like I said, a lot of you are probably off, so you can be home and relax, pregame and getting ready for it tonight. Eagles football, ready, looking for win number 3 in week 3. Let's see what happens. Folks, you know what I say, be great on purpose. Thank you all for tuning in. Go Birds. You see the shirt. You see the hat. E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles with a win tonight. Thank y'all for tuning in. Peace. See y'all next week.